بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. Respected elders and dear brothers and mothers and honorable sisters, the last dua that we had discussed was a dua wherein we sought Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness for our dhunub, our sins and our israf in all our affairs and our matters. We move on to another really powerful dua. And this dua was the dua that was made by Adam alayhi salam and his wife Hawa alayha salam when the two of them were expelled from Jannah. We are not going to go into the incident. It's quite a well-known incident as to what happened in Jannah, and the two of them were prohibited from eating from a certain tree. However, shaitan, Allah explains that shaitan misled them, he misguided them, and he promised to be a well-wisher unto them. They ate from the forbidden tree, they went against the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and as a result, the two of them were sent down onto earth. Now what's so amazing about this dua? Adam alayhi salam and Hawa, the two of them, kept wandering about on earth. There's different narrations and there are different historical accounts as to exactly where they had descended in two different parts of the world. But they were roaming around, and for a period of 40 years, for a period of 40 years, they kept on moving around and expressing all the while throughout that 40 years, the two of them kept on expressing the deepest amount of regret and remorse over what they had done. And what's amazing, when we study the dua of Zakariya alayhi salam, when he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a child, he also made dua for 40 years. It was after 40 years that his dua was answered. I'm not saying that it's going to take you 40 years to get your dua answered, inshallah. It will take much quicker than that. But Rasulullah says in the hadith that Allah tests you according to your status in the sight of Allah. The greater your perseverance, the higher the level of iman, the higher the test. Inna 'idhama al-jazama 'idhama al-bala. And that's why Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he suffered from a very acute type of fever when he became ill, and a certain sahabi came to visit him in the illness which ultimately led to the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that man, naturally, when somebody is ill, you take your hand, you place it on the forehead, or you place it somewhere on the body in order to determine the level of fever that the person and the sick is experiencing. So this is what he did. And he placed his hand on the head of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he pulled his hand back and he says, Ya Rasulullah, you are suffering from a very acute type of fever. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Ana'uka kama yu'aku rajulan minkum. The fever which I experience is double and is twice more intense than the fever of an ordinary person. So the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa sallam, because Allah knew the level of iman, and they were undergoing a tarbiyah, a nurturing process. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had brought upon them the greatest amount of tests and trials. So they kept on roaming around. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after 40 years, Allah says, فَتَلَقَّى آدَمُ مِن رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتٍ فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ. Allah says, after 40 years, Adam alayhi salam received certain words from Allah. Allah revealed certain words to Adam alayhi salam and instructed Adam and Hawa, both of them, that now make dua to Allah with these words. And what were those words that Allah had inspired to the two of them? Was these very same words, this dua. So that's the beautiful part about it, that Allah wanted them to make dua to Him and to call unto Him using this dua and these very words that we have before us. رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا. What's so beautiful about this dua? When we study the word ظَلَمْنَا, ظَلَمَ actually means to oppress or to commit an act of injustice. We refer to an oppressor as a zalim, a man who is a zalim, a tyrant, an oppressor. So here we have the word zalamna, rabbana, our rabb. Zalamna, we have wronged. Who have we wronged? Anfusana. We have wronged ourselves. Wa illam taghfir lana, and if you do not forgive us, wa tarhamna, and if you do not have mercy on us, lanakunanna min al-khasirin, we shall indeed be from amongst the losers. When we study zalamna, the literal meaning of zalamna means to oppress, to commit an act of injustice. An act of disobedience is tantamount to committing a crime against oneself. When you are committing a sin, or when you are going against the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what are you doing? You are not committing a wrong against Allah. You are not hurting Allah, but you are hurting yourself. It's like a person who has a medical condition, and he is told by the practitioner, he is told by the medical expert, that there's a certain diet that he must adhere to. But he does not adhere to that diet. What will the doctor tell him? You are not hurting me, you are hurting yourself. You are oppressing yourself. You are doing a great injustice to yourself, to your physical self, to your physical body. You are required to adhere to this lifestyle, or to this eating habit, or to this diet which the dietitian has drawn up for you. So similarly, you have your spiritual self and you have your spiritual health that you need to maintain. And that's what happens during the month of Ramadan. We are shedding off and we are actually undergoing a detox process whereby we are enhancing the health and we are improving the quality and the health of our spiritual self. So you have your physical body that you need to maintain, your physical body that you need to keep in shape and that you need to keep fit. Similarly, in fact, to a greater extent should you be concerned of your spiritual self. So when you go against the directives of your dietitian, you are doing a great injustice to your physical body. When you go against the directives of Allah, you are doing a great injustice to your spiritual health. So that's why ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا. Oh Allah, we have wronged ourselves by committing the sin, by committing the crime, by doing something that you have asked us not to do. We have done nothing else but hurt ourselves, and we have done nothing else but hurt our spiritual health. وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا, oh Allah, if you do not forgive us, if you do not forgive us, وَتَرْحَمَنَا, oh Allah, if you do not have mercy upon us, indeed we shall be amongst the losers. Al-Khasirin. Al-Khasirin is the plural of Khasir. Khasir is one who has lost, a loser. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us here that true loss is to deprive oneself of the mercy and forgiveness of Allah. That is true loss. That is actual loss. And that's what Rasulullah says about the month of Ramadan, that the biggest loser in the month of Ramadan is the one who is deprived of the mercy of Allah. How can you come out of the month of Ramadan and you have not secured Allah's mercy, you have not secured Allah's forgiveness? If you cannot do so in the month of Ramadan, if you have not secured acceptance from Allah, the mercy of Allah, the compassion of Allah, the clemency of Allah, the forgiveness of Allah, if you could not do it in the month of Ramadan, you are not going to do it any other time during the course of the year. So Al-Khasir, the greatest loser in this world, is the one who has lost the mercy of Allah, deprived himself of the mercy of Allah. At times you find a person has gained in terms of material things of this world. He has gained much, and he has gained abundant of material things and the wealth of this world and the comforts of this world. And today, because of the lifestyle that we live and because of our perception of life and success, we consider this person to be a successful one. He has attained success. And unfortunately, many a times today, this is what we have impressed on our children. We have impressed upon them this fake form of success. And we have impressed this onto their minds and onto their hearts, that success lies in acquiring a degree. Success lies in living a comfortable life. Success lies in living in a huge home. Success lies in driving the latest vehicle. Success lies in having the latest gadget in your hand. Success lies in all these material things of this world. Wallahi, we as parents are guilty for that. We have impressed this onto their minds and onto their hearts. Not that they shouldn't have a degree. Not that they should not live in a good home. We ask the dua, رَبَّنْ آتِنَا فِي دُنْيَا حَسَنَةً. And we ask that for our children. And one of the du'as that you must make constantly for your child is, "Oh Allah, bless my child with a good home. Bless my child with a good home. Bless my child with good in this dunya." But Allahumma la taj'ali dunya akbar hammina. What a wonderful dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Oh Allah, do not make the dunya the biggest contributing factor to my anxiety. Today are so many people who are suffering from depression, from anxiety, from fatigue. What is it? It's my business, it's my debt, it's this, my loan, my bond, etc., etc. All of these things. Nabi Sallallahu made a beautiful dua. He didn't say, "Oh Allah, let me not be concerned at all with the dunya. I have to live in the dunya. To a certain extent, I must be concerned with the dunya." Right? So it was, but let not the dunya be my greatest concern, my biggest worry. Let not the dunya be that thing which robs me of my sleep at night. First thing when I go to wake up in the morning, the first thing on my mind is dunya. When I go to bed, the last thing on my mind is dunya. My business, my investments and all of that. Have, and your children also, they should have of this dunya. وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. Allah Ta'ala says, do not forget your portion of the dunya. There's, from this dunya you should gain and you should earn. Do not forget it, but let it not be that thing which deprives you of the peace and contentment. So many a times we are guilty of impressing this. So much importance is given to that career. So much importance, that's fine, my child, if you did not read Quran this evening, it is okay. But you don't dare go to sleep until you have not completed your assignment. He must complete the assignment. I don't say don't let them, they should neglect that. No. But greater importance should be given to the Quran. First, have you recited your Quran this evening? Have you performed your salah this evening? Have you, are all these aspects in place? Yes, okay, now go. Let us go ahead and let us proceed. Let us attend to that assignment. This is all part of tarbiyah. And that is an amana which you have in your hand. Allah has placed in your hand, which, regarding which you are going to be questioned. So al-khasirin, who is al-khasirin? Those who have left this world, they have not secured Allah's rahmah and Allah's forgiveness. Why? Because in the first part of the dua, what are you asking Allah for? Maghfirah and rahmah. Forgiveness and mercy. And oh Allah, if I don't secure the maghfirah and I don't secure the rahmah, then I'm going to be amongst the khasirin. فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةِ فَقَدْ فَازْ. Allah speaks of true success. Allah, our master, our nurturer, our creator, our Rabb. Allah says, فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ, the one who is taken far away from hellfire, وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةِ, and is admitted into Jannah, فَقَدْ فَازْ. That person has succeeded in life. That person has succeeded in life. He has spent his time on this world fruitfully. And he has understood the true meaning of success. So today we have a warped idea of what true success is. There are different levels of success, of course. But the ultimate and highest success will be achieved and attained the day you put your foot into Jannah and you step into Jannah. That Allah says now that is success. So a believer's success starts once he is lowered into the grave. Some lessons that we learn from this Quran, from this dua that was made by our parents, Adam alayhi salam and Hawa, is that if one of us happens to have committed a sin, then he or she should do exactly what our first parents had done. Exactly. This is what you need to do. What did they do? Number one is they were sincerely ashamed. You must be sincerely and absolutely ashamed of the deed that you have committed. Overtaken by a sense of remorse. We spoke of that previously. Make up his mind never to indulge in that sin again and pray to Allah for his pardon as our parents had done. What we learn from this dua and the title of this dua is acknowledge one's sin as a sin. Acknowledge a sin as a sin. If we are involved in any sin and we are committing a wrong, do not ever justify it. Don't justify it. If you know it is a commandment that goes against what Allah has asked for and what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has demanded from you and I, let us acknowledge it as a sin. Allah will give you the tawfiq and the ability to repent from that sin and will give you. But if you're going to keep on justifying it using your own logic, that now it's justifiable. We are living in a different age, we are living in a different era, we are living in a different time right now. So we try and justify it. We look for loopholes in Sharia and the Deen of Islam, trying to justify that sin. Then Allah never gives you hidayat. Why? Because you feel you are doing the right thing. So what we learn from this is acknowledgement. When you sit before Allah, this is what Allah loves. You know, if somebody has done wrong to you, one is they come up to you and they say, you know what, forgive me. And that's all. Forgive me. But one is they come and they acknowledge the wrong. Look, what I've done, I sincerely acknowledge that what I had done is wrong. How much more will you not want to forgive that person who acknowledged that they were wrong? So this is what Allah loves. When you sit before Allah and you are making dua, acknowledge. Acknowledge your weakness, acknowledge your brokenness, acknowledge your inability to worship Allah as you ought to be worshipped. That's how you start your dua. Every Nabi, how did they start their dua? By acknowledging their brokenness before Allah. You know, time and again I refer to the dua of Zakariya alayhi salam because I cannot get enough of that dua. And we spoke about it. Perhaps almost every Ramadan we discuss the dua of Zakariya alayhi salam. But look at it, what an amazing dua. What did he teach you and I? When he said before Allah, Rabbi inni wahana al-azmu minni washta'ala ar-ra'su shayba wa lam akun bidu'aika rabbi shaqiya. Oh Allah, my bones have become weak. Oh Allah, my hair has been turned white. Oh, he's acknowledging his brokenness before Allah Azza wa Jalla. And every other Nabi, this is what he did. Oh, now all the righteous, this is what they did. I don't want to go into the du'as and the supplication of the righteous. We intend doing that in the second 10 nights of Ramadan. And there we are going to learn the etiquette of du'a. Now you are learning the du'as. Hopefully you have memorized all the du'as, inshallah, that we have covered thus far. You are learning the words, you are learning the meaning, you are learning the mode, the language, the type of words that Allah wants you to use in your du'a. That is what you are learning. But the etiquettes and the approach and the state that you should find yourself in, we will learn that in the next 10 nights when we study certain du'as of certain of the Anbiya and righteous. We will start with the du'a of Asiya. Asiya, what a beautiful du'a she made. Rabbi ibni li baytan indaka fil jannah. Oh Allah, build for me a palace in Jannah. Right? It's a short du'a that she made, but I want you to understand the circumstances in which she made the du'a, which we will come to inshallah, and the etiquettes of how she converses with Allah Azza wa Jal. So never should one seek ways to justify an act of disobedience. This is something that is disliked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has never approved of it. You find similar du'as by other anbiya. Look at the du'a of Musa alayhi salam, and we are going to study this at a later stage. Rabbi inni zalamtu nafsi. He also says zalamtu. In the du'a you are saying zalamna. Zalamna, we have wronged ourselves, because the two of them are making du'a. Who is that? Adam and Hawa. So using the personal pronoun na, zalamna. Zalamna means we have wronged ourselves. Rabbi inni zalamtu. What did Musa alayhi salam do? Unintentionally he killed a man. And that man happened to belong to the special forces of Fir'aun. And unintentionally Allah gave Musa alayhi salam such power that he gave the man one slap and he was knocked out, never to wake up again. That was the power Allah gave Musa alayhi salam. So after that he regretted. What did he say? Rabbi inni zalamtu. Zalamtu, I have oppressed myself. Zalamtu nafsi. Similar dua. I have wronged myself. La ilaha. Yunus alayhi salam. He gave da'wah to his people. He started inviting them to Allah. He became so frustrated that they were not heeding his message. He decided to leave his community without the approval of Allah Azza wa Jal. And we know the famous story, he boarded onto the ship and eventually he had to throw himself into the ocean and a whale swallowed him up. Allah says, in the darkness of the belly of that whale, what dua did he make? The best dua that you can make when you are suffering from anxiety and depression. La ilaha illa anta subhanak inni kuntu min al-zalimin. Zalimin, again. Zalimin. Every Nabi, what did they do? They attributed the weakness to themselves. Attributed. What did we learn yesterday? Don't attribute your piety to yourself. So your achievement, attributed to who? To Allah. Whatever achievement, whether it is a worldly achievement, spiritual achievement, religious achievement, every achievement of yours, attribute it to Allah. Your every weakness, attribute it to yourself. Your weakness, attribute it to yourself. Okay? And this is what every Nabi did. Look at Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right? The paragon of Allah's creation. And I will conclude on this. He lost Khadija, radiallahu ta'ala anha. Who was she? She was his pillar of support in his private life. After that, who does he lose? Abu Talib. A few months later, Abu Talib. And Abu Talib was his pillar of support in his public life. So he's lost both his pillars of support. He feels that I need to go to Ta'if and give da'wah to the people of Ta'if. When he comes to Ta'if, we know what happened in Ta'if. For 6 miles, they chased him out of Ta'if. And they ran behind the Nabi of Allah with rocks. They ran behind the Nabi of Allah with rocks and they started pelting the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with rocks. For 6 miles he walked and walked and they kept on pelting him. Zayd radiallahu ta'ala who was with the Nabi of Allah says the blood flowed down the body of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam until it filled up in his shoes and his shoes were clogged with blood. And eventually when they gave up. They were tired of pelting, they could not pelt anymore, and they returned to Taif, and Nabi Sassan found a tree, and he sat in the shade of the tree, and he rested his back on the trunk of the tree, and he raised his hands, and what did he say? Allahumma inni ashku ilayka du'fa quwwati, oh Allah, this is my fault. Oh Allah, this is my fault. This is my weakness. This is because of me. He attributed it to himself. So this is what we need to learn from this dua, that my mistakes in life, the problems in life, the difficulties that I counter in life, my weaknesses, do not shift the blame onto somebody else, or do not look for a scapegoat, but acknowledge your weakness before Allah. So when you make dua, start off by acknowledging your weakness before Allah, acknowledging your sin before Allah, acknowledging that you are a beggar and nothing else in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. Wa akhir da'wan. Alhamdulillah.